Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, he wasn't investigating anything, just installing equipment overnight as a contractor. By morning, multiple people had witnessed the same impossible activity, and Ryan was left wondering what was happening.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Well, hello. And yes, it is. Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want access to the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, all the stuff, check it out on Patreon. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online and Apple Podcasts. We have a premium channel there where you can get access to all the advanced stuff on that specific channel. So do check it out if you want to go ad-free with the program. We do thank you for that support. Tony, Todd, and Carol with you on today's edition of the program. How is everyone doing?
Rocking and rolling.
Yeah, that's right.
Welcome to Delicious Dish.
Yeah, that sounds like a delicious dish.
That was
that's my Saturday balls, Night Live voice when they would do the sweaty balls.
Mm-hmm.
Show us your sweaty balls. We really like them.
Betty White had the muffin. Remember that? Do you remember that?
Yes.
She came on and she had a muffin and it wasn't mm-hmm. dry or anything like yep. that. It was very moist.
Nice
and
moist muffin.
Yeah.
Yep.
I get a little bit of a tang with that. Is that cherry?
Got a cherry on your muffin.
Oh, Betty White.
Oh my God. She was brilliant.
Absolutely.
Because I was talking about, I don't think it was with you guys. It was probably Kathy or Harper. Like, who would you want to get together with who's passed on, like someone? Because Catherine O'Hara passing away really hit me mm-hmm. hard. It was yeah. Kathy talking about this. And I'm like, you know, she's someone I would have really liked to have sat down with. And
yep.
Not to yeah. be like, I want to interview her. I just would have a beer with her or something.
Yeah.
And Betty White would yeah. have been amazing. Just, I would like to talk about animals with her and her life and her comedic timing. Both those mm-hmm. women had yeah. the most amazing sense of comedic timing, and they could take a line that's not a funny line and make it funny just by delivery.
Mm-hmm.
That's a skill.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Both incredible. It's interesting to think of now too, with Catherine O'Hara dying. Who was the guy who played Kevin's dad on Home Alone? I forgot his name. He's dead too.
So that's right.
Both of Kevin's parents are now deceased from Home Alone.
That's right.
Just weird to think about.
I hate it.
It's hard.
I will say this, and I said this the other day with Kathy too, but it bears repeating. I am glad that Catherine O'Hara had that iconic role of Moira Rose.
Mm-hmm.
So it brought a whole new
yes.
audience to her.
Yep.
That would have never known her comedic brilliance had that yeah. role not come along.
Yeah.
Because I had followed her for years and years and years.
There's a lot of people who, you know, knew her just as Moira. Mm-hmm. And then when they found out that she was the mom in Home Alone, they were blown away by that. But all the stuff she did yeah. with SCTV and yeah. Ami and Second yeah. City, it's unbelievable. She was just absolutely incredible.
We yeah. We sat down and we watched Best in Show that night.
Oh my gosh.
As a you know, there were so many good ones. Waiting for Guffman, another one. There was two others. And there was actually one I haven't seen yet. That I didn't even realize existed. The Christopher Guest movies.
Spinal Tap.
Well, yeah, you know, I've never seen that. Two. I've never seen Spinal Tap.
The second Spinal Tap is as funny as the first one.
Is it? I want to yes. see it. Yeah.
And seeing that made me realize just how great Rob Reiner was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when he passed away too, this whole episode is super sad all of a sudden. But when I was like, I had been thinking like, God, this guy was so good.
You know, and Rob was 25, but it was right at the tail end of 25. I didn't have any of these people on my death bingo cards,
nope.
you know? at all.
Yeah. And especially Catherine, I think, you know, you just thought that she was going to be around for quite some time.
Did they know what happened yet? I don't think
they've said.
I have not seen anything.
Did the guy that does the YouTube, I'm going to communicate with everybody the day after they die through the spirit box guy to Catherine O'Hara?
I don't know if he's done that yet. Maybe we'll have to do that here. I'll go get my spirit box during the call, okay, and we'll see if we can drum up a little Catherine O'Hara.
I can do an SNL bit on it. I kind of look like him a little bit, you know? We should do a little...
Great.
You know, put some, dim the lights a little bit and...
Jeez.
Yes, please.
Catherine O'Hara and Anthony Bourdain are coming to me.
There's another guy I would have sat down and just had a beer with. And not talked food or anything, just talked life, you know?
Yeah. Right.
I always was hoping at some point that I'd get to meet him. Anthony Bourdain. Yeah. Great writing, great everything. I haven't seen those. Whenever I watch those shows, it's just like, damn, I miss shows like that. There's so many that tried to kind of do like knockoffs of that, but that thing was just groundbreaking, his storytelling style.
Yeah, even if you weren't into food or not a foodie, I mean, he could... Yeah, it was just amazing.
A Cook's Tour was where I started watching. That was his first one. And that's where I was, because it was one on Food Network, and it was unlike anything else on Food Network.
Right.
And they didn't play it that much either. But I was like, that's what got me hooked. Like, it was like, what, 99, 2000, somewhere around there. And it was just, yeah. All right. Well, there's our talk of dead people for the day. It is a ghost show.
Correct. So
I guess that's how we'll pass that off. Let's go to a letter that came in. And if you want to write in, realghoststoriesonline.com is where you can do that. Here we go. Ryan took overnight contract work because it paid better and asked fewer questions. You showed up, did the job, logged your hours, and left before anyone bothered to learn your name. He liked it that way. No office politics, no long-term attachment, just work. This particular job was a single-night installation at a corporate office complex outside the city. Nothing unusual on paper. The building was mid-size, several floors, mostly administrative offices. The work had to be done overnight to avoid disrupting business operations. Sir Ryan and two other contractors were scheduled to come in after closing. He arrived just before sunset. The place already felt hollow, not abandoned, just drained like a building that had exhaled for the day and hadn't inhaled again. Most of the staff had gone home. Only a receptionist remained at the front desk, along with a few housekeeping staff and a security guard making slow rounds. Ryan signed in, got his badge, and barely exchanged words with anyone. That was normal. People working nights tended to keep to themselves. The installation work was heavier than expected. Equipment had to be carried up several levels. Mounts secured, wiring run cleanly. It was slow, physical labor, the kind that made time stretch. By the time they finished the main work, everyone was sore, tired, and irritable. I took a late break around midnight in the cafeteria. That's when the scream cut through the building. It was loud, sharp, and unmistakably human. Not a noise, not a mechanical alarm, someone screaming in genuine fear. Ryan was on his feet instantly, springing back towards the lobby with the others. They found the receptionist crouched near the desk, backed into the corner like he was trying to crawl into the wall. His face was flushed red, his eyes wide, breathing erratic. He didn't even seem to register that people had arrived. It took several minutes to calm him down, enough to speak. When he did, his voice shook. He said he'd been sitting at the desk, bored, fighting sleep. He must have nodded off for a moment because the next thing he knew, something struck his face hard enough to snap his head sideways. He jumped awake, disoriented, convinced someone was standing in front of him. No one was there. Before he could stand, he was hit again, harder, the force knocking him out of his chair. Ryan didn't say anything, but his first thought was exhaustion-induced hallucination. People working overnight shifts sometimes experience strange sensory events. It happened. except the receptionist's face was visibly swollen. Security checked the cameras. The footage showed the receptionist slumped in his chair, then, without warning, his head jerked violently to the side. A few seconds later, it happened again. His body reacted exactly as if someone had struck him, but no one appeared in the frame. No shadow, no reflection, no movement other than the receptionist himself. The receptionist left immediately and never returned to the desk that night. Ryan didn't see him again. The mood in the building changed after that. No one said it out loud, but people moved faster, spoke less. The normal background noises of the place seemed to disappear, leaving long stretches of silence that felt too intentional. Less than an hour later, the housekeeping staff reported something else. They'd been cleaning the main office floor, an open plan space with rows of desks that seated hundreds during the day. One of them claimed to hear something typing aggressively at the computer, not casually, frantically, along with it, a woman's voice singing softly. Ryan followed security back to the floor, and the room was empty. But the sound was still there. The typing echoed through the space, keys cracking rapidly, paired with low, tuneless melody. The sounded and bounced or distorted came from a specific area near the far desks. Ryan felt a tightening in his chest. It was too precise to be imagined. Someone suggested using a phone camera, half joking, half desperate for a rational explanation. The lights were switched off to reduce glare. For several minutes, the camera showed nothing. Then something shifted on the screen. A faint outline appeared, vaguely human, but blurred, as if it didn't fully belong in the frame. It moved between desks, hands positioned where a keyboard would be. The sound matched its movement. Ryan noticed something else before anyone said it. The figure changed direction. It was moving towards them. He didn't wait for confirmation. Ryan grabbed the nearest person and pushed everyone back in the hallway, slamming the door shut behind them. The singing continued for a few seconds after they left, then stopped. No one went back in. By that point, Ryan wanted nothing more than to finish the job and leave. He told himself it was coincidence, stress, fatigue, a building making noise in unfamiliar ways, but deep down, he knew the night wasn't over yet. By the time the clock crept past 3 a.m., no one was pretending anymore. No one said the word ghost. No one suggested demons, curses, or hauntings, but the easy explanations, fatigue, stress, coincidence, had started to collapse under their own weight. Too many people had heard the same things. Too many movements overlapped. Ryan kept checking his watch, calculating how long until dawn. They regrouped in the cafeteria, lights on full, everyone clustered together as if proximity alone might keep the building quiet. The security guard stayed with them now, abandoning his rounds entirely. No one objected. That's when the crash came from above. It was a deep metallic sound, heavy enough that the vibration carried through the floors. Ryan recognized it immediately. Something had fallen hard on the roof. The installation. Against his better judgment, Ryan went back upstairs with one of the contractors and the guard. Rain had started falling, light at first, then heavier, as they reached the top level. The rooftop access door groaned as it opened. The equipment they had secured earlier lay on its side, not tipped, not shifted, ripped free. The mounting bolts were torn straight out of the concrete, leaving jagged holes behind. Ryan crouched to inspect them, running his fingers over the damage. This wasn't faulty installation. The force required to do this was substantial, far more than wind, especially with how little time had passed. No one spoke. Rain intensified, drumming against the roof, and they moved under the overhang near the access door. Ryan felt the exhaustion setting deeper now, the kind that made the world feel unreal, like everything was happening a step removed from himself. That's when he heard singing again, above them. He looked up. For just a moment, a figure stood at the edge of the rooftop structure, female, slender, wearing what looked like a long dress that clung and moved unnaturally in the rain. She wasn't soaked. The rain didn't seem to touch her at all. She tilted her head back slightly, face turned skyward, singing softly. Then she was gone. Ryan didn't say anything. He couldn't. His mouth felt numb. The other contractor screamed. Ryan turned. The woman stood several feet away now, closer than before. Her expression had changed. The softness was gone. She stared directly at Ryan, eyes fixed, unblinking, as if measuring him. No sound came from her mouth this time. Then they ran. No dignity, no coordination, just raw instinct. They didn't stop until they were back inside, doors locked, breath ragged. The singing did not follow them. The rain continued. At that point, no one attempted to resume work. They stayed together until morning. When daylight finally crept through the windows, the building felt different, not safe, but empty. Whatever tension had filled the air was gone, leaving behind only fatigue and disbelief. Management arrived later that morning. Ryan explained the damaged installation in strictly technical terms. He left out the rest. So did everyone else. No incident reports were filed beyond equipment failure. No questions were asked. Ryan was paid and dismissed before noon. He never went back. To this day, he doesn't know what happened that night. He doesn't know if the receptionist was ever hurt again somewhere else. He doesn't know if the singing returned after they left. He doesn't know if the rooftop incident was the last time anyone saw that figure. He has no history with the building, no emotional connection, no reason to imagine things tied to that place. That's what bothers him most, because if it were a long-term job, he might have convinced himself there was context he was missing, stress, familiarity, expectation, but he was only there for one night, a stranger passing through. Sometimes he thinks about the camera footage of the receptionist, the way something invisible struck him twice with unmistakable force. Sometimes he remembers the typing, the singing, the way the sound and the movement lined up perfectly. Sometimes he remembers the look on her face on the roof. Not rage, not malice, awareness. Ryan still works overnight contracts, still walks into unfamiliar buildings when most people are asleep. He hasn't experienced anything like that night ever again. But every now and then, when a spare or a space feels just a little too quiet, or when he hears a sound he can't place right away, he doesn't rush to explain it anymore. He waits. Because one night was enough to teach him that not everything announces itself loudly, and not everything leaves answers behind. Some places remember you even when you were only there a few hours. And some nights refuse to be explained, no matter how much you want them to be. Dun, dun, dun.
I always find those kind of stories interesting. The people who have no history of no knowledge of where they're going to work, you know, like you do HVAC or you paint or you do home renovations. You have no idea. And on the Grave Talks, I've talked to so many people who have hired contractors for different jobs and they didn't show up after a few days. There was like things started happening and they're like, done, find somebody else to do this. And then they just go on to the next job.
And I wonder, they say that sometimes like paranormal stuff will kind of kick in when somebody starts doing some sort of remodeling at their home or moving things around, whatever. And I wonder for contractors, I wonder if it's a situation where the family's never really experienced anything like that because contractors come in and they're moving a wall or they're putting carpeting in or they're painting or whatever. If that's enough to maybe flip the switch on some paranormal activity, and then they're the ones who get the bulk of the crap, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe like with that guy, was there something that had been happening there? And do you even want to have that conversation? Is it like, do y'all deal with this every night around here? Because this place is crazy.
Right.
Or do you just go, I don't want to know. I'd rather just be in denial that this night ever even happened.
Yeah. Well, and I wonder too, I mean, it probably depends on what type of contracting you're doing. You know, like painters and things like that. I remember getting a lot of calls like that years ago. of them noticing things, because, you know, if you're just there and you're painting, you're kind of, you know, unless you're like spraying and it's, you got something like that going on, you're kind of, you know, open to the elements of what's going on in the building. You know, if you're doing heavy construction work and things like that, I think it'd be more difficult to notice any sort of nuanced anything just because there is so much activity, you know, already going on from the guy over there and over there.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, we've had stories where people like have left their tools behind and never come back because they get so freaked out at a place. I remember a few of those.
And that's a big thing. You know, tools to somebody who does that kind of work, it's kind of like a daughter or a son. I mean, that's how much they mean to you. So to leave something behind like that, you must have really been scared out of your wits.
Yeah, maybe. There's been some shows on HGTV about like haunted homes and then remodeling. I've only seen one and I haven't watched HGTV in years. So I don't know if there's any good ones. There's like one I saw years ago is very blah. Has anyone seen any that are, cause it seems like it's a genre ripe if someone could do it well.
Right. I have not seen that though, but I think it would be fascinating.
Yeah.
You know, and I just find it really interesting with a story like that because the person has no history. So their expectation is we're just going in, getting this job done, do what we always do, and then we leave, go on to the next one the next night or however many nights it takes you. You don't have any like, oh, this place is going to be haunted.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it's just a workplace. You're going in to do some IT stuff or whatever they were doing or like, you know, a place that they're renovating and so there's not a lot of people around. You just go in to do the renovation job.
Para-reno. And you have like a psychic that communicates to you how the ghost wants you to renovate the room.
And I love
like,
it.
Like they want like a wall here and like the shit doesn't make any sense. And it ends up being a lot like the, what's the one house that has all the rooms?
The Winchester house.
The Winchester mystery house.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, it's because it's a renovation that's done, communicated through a psychic to a contractor.
Yeah.
I freaking love that idea. And you can get remember the show Trading Spaces or something like that?
Just going to go there. Damn it.
Get some of the, because some of those people were really good. Some of the designers. And then some of them, like, you just knew, like, the families were like, oh, my God, we got her. Or, oh, my God, we got him. It's going to turn out crappy. And it always did turn out crappy.
It's exactly it really where I was going to go, Todd. I don't remember. My next sentence was going to be Trading Spaces.
I don't remember what her name was, but there was one lady who just always did stuff over the top.
And yeah.
She took all these silk flowers and pulled the heads off. And lined the walls in the bathroom with them. Like every inch of the wall was super glued, these freaking flowers. I would have killed somebody if I walked into my house and they did that.
I remember one where they did like a carnival room. Do you remember that?
Yes, with the tent. Yes.
It was like they made it it wasn't like a kid's room or anything either.
It was like a dining room.
Yeah. It was like big top. I think they were they showed their distaste on that one. I if I remember right, it was one of the rare ones where it was like, yeah, they don't like this.
I mean, Elvis did have a circus room at Graceland that was very much like that, where it was, you know, the tent top was from the roof and then the walls were all oh my God, I do remember that.
Yeah. Like if that's what you want, it's kind of a fun idea. I mean, it's a really neat effect you could do to a room if you're having a party or something. I don't know that I would like make it my permanent fixture, but, I don't know. Who knows? If you really get in, maybe I'll get into watching Dumbo or something and then be like, fuck, I need a circus room.
You like a little something extra in the bedroom and you got trapeze and stuff. Okay. I get that. Right. But still.
It's like, what is the flaming hoop for? This is going to get a little dangerous at some point. Yeah, it's like authenticity, baby. Authenticity.
The flaming hoop. It's great.
There you go. All right. And on that note, we're going to wrap up the program for the day. If you want access to the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, it's all there for you. Apple Podcast or Patreon. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online and you will find us there. Until next time, for Todd and Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.